If he comes home every day to you and brings home the bacon, if we want to call it that, and takes real good care of you and provide a house for you and everything else, it's easy to love him, isn't it? Let's say y'all rock along here for 25 years, and he's done this for 25 years, and boy, he's the best husband you could ever hope to have. And all of a sudden, one day, he doesn't come home. And you try to call him, do everything, and you can't get him nowhere. And finally, Tuesday night, he comes walking back in the house, and you say, "Honey, where in the world have you been?" And he's been a good boy for 25 years. And he said, "Oh, I run into one of my old high school sweethearts last night, so I went to the hotel and spent a night with her last night." Now, that's just one night in 25 years. You reckon this woman's going to be a little upset with him? How often do we do that to God? Do we come to church on Sunday? Not even all the time on Sunday. We don't even go. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and maybe Wednesday night we go back to a little hour service, and we don't read any Bible, but we go to a little prayer meeting, and we can't wait for it to be over so we can get up and go do something else. And in the course of that week, you spend maybe 30 minutes with God. And the rest of the time you're spending thinking about the world, or you're watching your television show. I mean, can you imagine you're sitting there watching some secular television show with the nonsense that's on today, and God is in you and he's having to watch that junk too? Can you imagine that? Well, let me tell you what God, these people here, they were spiritual prostitutes. That's what God calls them. In fact, one of my good friends, I won't call his name, but he had made God a promise that he would spend an hour every morning with God in his word every day. And he did until football season came along. And then he'd get up in the morning and turn on the TV to see who's going to be playing for whoever. And after about a week of that, the Lord spoke to him. He called his name. He said that morning when he turned on the TV, the computer, to pull up to see who was going to be playing football for some team, the Lord called his name. I'll use my name there. It's not his. He said, "Thurman, you are a whore." He says, "God, I'm a man. How can I be a whore?" He said, "You're a spiritual whore. You promised me you'd spend an hour every morning with me, and you did until football season. Now you're watching that football every morning, and you're not spending any time with me." He said, "You are a spiritual whore." How would you like for God to call you a whore? I just can't even imagine that. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? God, does God say he's a jealous God? And you want to know what makes us sick? Well, I'll tell you what, he's a whole lot more patient than me and you are. Or, in other words, I could just see the way that affected you if he'd have been your husband for 25 years and then he messed up one night in 25 years. How it broke your heart. Well, can you imagine what it does to God when we turn our back on him, don't stay in his word? And so, of course, thank goodness he's a lot more merciful than we are, isn't he? So he lets us be that spiritual prostitute for weeks, months, and years. And that's what he'd done for Ed. Years. Ed had been a great Christian on Sunday morning, but he's a businessman 6 days a week. And so that scripture, just right there, he gave him the answer to his prayers, but he wasn't happy with him at all. And so he sent a wasting disease to destroy him. And thank God for a God that's merciful. Whenever we repented of sin and we prayed for Ed and anointed him with oil, then the sin was confessed and repented of. And when we repent of our sin, does God forgive us? Isn't that a wonderful Lord? He forgets our sins and never remembers them again. So I don't care what you've done, if you've been that spiritual prostitute, when you ask God to forgive you for not putting him first, he will forgive you. You don't ever have to ask him again. Now then, what do you have to change after you ask him to forgive you? You got to start putting him first, right? You got to go to church. You got to get in his word. Because just like Dave up there, when Dave came to me, Dave had been sick 40 years. He had an incurable disease, could not be cured by the doctors. He had a Deuteronomy 28:27 incurable itch. And I want to show that to you now. Let's go to that. Deuteronomy 28:27. It says here that if we do not obey God, it says the Lord will afflict you with boils of Egypt. Now, wait a minute. What did that say? Who's going to do this? It didn't say the devil? It didn't say the devil? Do you think that could be right? That's kind of different than what we've heard, isn't it? the Lord will smite you. Wow, that's serious stuff, isn't it? So you want to make him happy or unhappy? The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, scurvy, and the itch from which you cannot be healed. You ask the average church member, you think God put sickness upon us? You know what they're going to tell you? Absolutely not. He would never do that. Never. But is that what the Word says? The Word says that the Lord is going to afflict you with it. Well, when Dave came to me 10 years ago, he had this, and I told him it was a generational curse, and we had to break the curses because his mother and grandmother had the same thing. I said, we'll break the curses, claim the redemption from the curse, and then we'll start praying the prayer of faith for you, and you'll start getting well. So Dave started standing. Well, it took a long, long time. In fact, 20 months. And, of course, he's in there trying to get well, and he looks awful. I mean, boy, if you have not seen Sickness is Satanic Oppression on a DVD back there, you need to get a copy of Sickness is Satanic Oppression. And the first hour of that healing school is Dave's testimony with pictures of what he looked like while he was working out his healing. And, of course, as he's asking the Lord, Lord, what is wrong? What am I doing wrong? One of the main things that come across today, you're grumbling and complaining too much. Now, what? You think grumbling and complaining would make me sick? Yeah, it would keep you sick, too. And it did Dave. And so finally, when Dave got well, now it took Dave 20 months to get well. We prayed over him, and we broke curses over him. We never did give up. Of course, he'd been sick for 40 years. He was born with this, and he'd had it for 40 years old. Now then, he's been healed about 8 or 9 years, whatever it is, but he's totally well, no problem with it. And so Dave asked me the same question. He said, Pastor, why do you think it took so long for me to get healed? I said, Dave, I have no idea why it took so long. I said, I know God's Word works, and I know it works every time if we obey Him and do what He says. So I said, but Dave, I don't know. I said, so he said, how am I going to find out? I said, Dave, it's real simple. The Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer you. I said, He tells us to ask Him and with thanksgiving every time. When you ask Him, don't ever ask Him for nothing without thanksgiving. Because if you don't say, thank you, Lord, for my answer, you ain't never going to get the answer. He not going to answer you unless you do it His way. Now, He just happens to be God. Y'all know that? And if He says for you to do it a certain way, you want to get your answer, you do it. So Dave started asking the Lord and thanking Him for the answer. And finally, Dave heard something. He said, son, the reason it took so long for you to get well is because I don't know who you are. How would you like to hear God say that to you? That He doesn't know who you are. He said, Lord, I go to church every Sunday. I tithe. He said, oh, I know all that about you. But he said, Dave, you might spend 15 minutes in the Word in a day, maybe. So he said, you and I have no intimacy. I don't know who you are. You know, that kind of sounds like, can you imagine this? Say you marry your spouse. This young couple here, I'm going to use them because they're a young couple. Now then, this young couple gets married, and they go one night on a honeymoon for one night, and then he's got business to do, and then he don't come back for 3 months. Don't call or nothing. Are you going to be happy with him? You can't imagine y'all's honeymoon. You just spent one day together, and now that he's gone for 3 months and don't even call. The first thing you're going to be saying after about the first day is, this guy didn't love me. Is that right, honey? Or if it happened the other way, you'd be thinking the same thing about her, wouldn't you, brother? Yeah. But do we do God like that? We do. We get saved, then we go to church one or two Sundays, and then we don't even talk about Him or tell nobody about Him for the next month. When you got married, probably after every girl's meeting you were at, whatever, after you got married, the one thing you were talking about, how wonderful this man is you just married. Is that right? See? That's when we have got something we love, we talk about it, don't we? And that's the way we ought to be with Jesus, right? We ought to be talking about our Jesus, telling everybody how wonderful He is, because He is a jealous God, just like we're jealous about our mates. We should be talking about Him and glorifying Him and praising Him and thanking Him for how wonderful He is. It says, the Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, scurvy, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. As Dave continued to say, Lord, how much time should I spend with you if you don't know me? He said, well, a tithe would be a good place to start. That's about 2 to 2.5 hours a day. For the average person, that's unthinkable. Do you know what would happen to you if you were to study God's Word 2 hours a day, 7 days a week for 5 years? You know what would happen to you? You would be so knowledgeable about God's Word. You'd be running over with His Word, wouldn't you, Jeff? Yeah. The Word would just be in you. You could sit down and talk with people for hours or days and never even need an outline to go by. You'd just have it in your heart. And you, everywhere you went, you couldn't talk about nothing but Jesus because that's all that would be in there. When you sit down, somebody says, let me tell you about the football game last night. I said, I ain't got time to talk about the football game. Let's talk about Jesus. I know. Let's talk about Him. You get a bunch of young men together today, what do they want to talk about? Sports. Something to do with sports. They don't want to talk about Jesus. And you say, why don't you guys name some of the apostles for me? They say, who? I say, apostles. What's that? These are church kids. I'm not talking about the world's kids. Quote me your favorite scripture. Some of them today can't even quote you a favorite scripture. You know, we got a little girl here that goes, her mother works for us. And her name's the same name as my granddaughter, Caitlin. Both of them named Caitlin. Both of them 13. Kathy's little Caitlin, she goes to a little Christian school, a real small private Christian school. Last year, that girl memorized over 400 verses in school. Over 400. The year before, she like 250. And so I when I'm around her, I start to say something. And when I start, I may say three or four words. She said, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Isn't that amazing? Now then, that kind of don't say much for us. You know that? Every healing school, almost I tell this. I said, okay, God says in 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Work hard so God can approve you, or there's the King James. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if God commanded us to study, then I'm going to lock the front door, and I'm going to give all of you a blank sheet of paper, and you can't go to your Bible, and I want you just to write down your favorite 100 verses. Only your favorite 100. I'm not going to ask you to go out there wild in thousands of scriptures. Just 100, your favorite 100. Now then, as you start to leave, if you have any less than 100, for every one you have less than 100, you get one lick from the cat of nine tails. I wonder how many of us would leave alive, huh?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled The Power Behind Us is Awesome, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.